Wendy Wendland started with the PIRGS back in 1984 in the state of Washington. She has been political director for the State Public Interest Research Group and has held that position since 1992. And Wendy received her Bachelor of Arts in Political Science from Whitman College in 1983. Most recently, Ms. Wendland has been very responsible for the recall of contaminated shells from Taco Bell. This has been a cause that she has now working on, and I don't know how many of you have read, but clearly Taco Bell has been embarrassed enough to get its contaminated taco shells off the market, and we can thank Wendy Wendland and her organization for partially doing that. Ladies and gentlemen, Wendy Wendland.
You may wonder that what that has to do with campaign finance reform. But in fact, it has everything to do with campaign finance reform, the issue of genetically engineered food and the fact that it's in the marketplace. 60% of the foods that you buy in the market today contain genetically engineered ingredients. And that's totally because the campaign finance in this system in this country is off track, as we all know. I just wanted to spend a couple of minutes. I think you'll hear more from Norma and Craig about the impacts of Prop 34 on undermining Prop 208, which I know that ADA in 96 was a supporter of. I wanted to talk a little bit more fundamentally about why CalPERG opposes Prop 34, even though we were not supporters of 208, that I think fundamentally, as a campaign finance reform measure, this is a total sham and not something which we should support, and we should do everything we can do to expose it for what it truly is. 34. Sorry if that sounded incorrect. Now, obviously, the fight that we're here about is 34. And I guess I would go back and start at a position which is to just frame where I come to this issue from. I think a lot of people think about campaign finance reform. What they're most worried about is the quid pro quo corruption. So the idea that, you know, some senator is getting $10,000 from the genetic engineering companies and therefore they're, you know, then voting a particular way on a bill. I think the problem is far more fundamental than that. I think that type of corruption actually gets fairly well documented. It's easy to do a PAC study exposing that particular link. But the bigger problem is the overall influence of money in the process, the fact that the average person cannot participate in the process. As soon as you have high contribution limits, as soon as it's the case that only those people that can spend a lot of money can actually participate, ordinary people are left out of the process. So when I think about Bill Clinton, for instance, I don't think that the guy got corrupted once he got to the White House. He got to the White House because of the very fact that he was willing to take on the positions that Wall Street was willing to back, and therefore they put him in the White House. So it wasn't an after-the-fact corruption. It's a corruption of a process that only promotes candidates who have access to that type of money. The reason they have access to that type of money is they share the views of the people that have money, and those are the people that then get elected. So if you take that as the basic problem with the system, then you have to think, well, what kinds of solutions do we need to solve these problems? And it would be the PIRG position that the types of reforms we need would include low contribution limits, things that bring contributions back to a level that ordinary, average people can afford. Prop 34 doesn't do that. Prop 34 has $3,000 contribution limits, which is, you might notice, three times what the federal election limits are, which we think that system is broken. It includes $20,000 contribution limits for governor. I mean, it's almost absurd. I mean, again, we talk the candidates. You've got Gore and Bush talking about campaign finance reform being a problem. You know, we have $1,000 limits at the federal level, and yet here in California, a proposal which is being put on the ballot touted as real reform is much worse than even what we have at the federal level. So contribution limits, banning corporate contributions. I mean, we banned corporate contributions at the federal level in 1907. In California in 1998, there were $78 million in corporate contributions given. This initiative does nothing to do anything about those contributions. I mean, we're talking direct corporate contributions. A corporation can just write out a check. You might as well just have it on their bottom line. Accounting, $10,000 a year. Campaign contributions, $10,000 a year. They just put it in their spreadsheet and calculate it out and include it in the cost of the product. So campaign contributions from corporations, out-of-district contributions, this initiative does nothing to prohibit those. Soft money, I'm sure you'll hear a lot from Craig and Norma about how basically this is a soft money sieve. It just allows money to be dumped into the parties and the parties to turn around and spend the money on candidates. And then the spending limits, which are set at $700,000 for an assembly candidate in the general election, is higher than what the average amount was that a winning candidate spent in 1988. So in 1988, a winning candidate spent $683,000. Spending limits are set at $700,000. So the spending limits are meaningless. So this is an initiative which, however you feel about Prop 208, is an initiative that all of us who care about real reform should oppose, because all it's doing is putting into place a system which legitimizes the kind of campaign financing that we currently have. It may seem, you know, I know the argument is, oh, this may, maybe it's better than nothing. At least we stop some of those really big contributions. And all I can say is I don't believe that. I think we're putting in place a system. We're calling it reform. We're letting people in California think they've solved the problem when, in fact, we've done nothing to solve the problem. We've just institutionalized it, and so we should do everything we can do to get the word out. And it's, as you can imagine, a tough fight and battle that we have. I mean, there's not a lot of people who are interested in putting a lot of money into opposing a measure which was put on the ballot by some of the most powerful people in the state. And not just, these are not scumbag-type people, I think, as some, you know, as Roy started out saying, or maybe Craig, the very sponsors of this legislation are people who have championed a lot of the issues and that we care about. And so it's a very difficult sell to find the people who are willing to, you know, fight against this measure. So anything that ADA can do to figure out how to get involved in this fight over the next several weeks and get the word out and make sure that people understand that just because it's called campaign finance reform, it's not.